Yeah. Jai.
Jai.
When the rising sun appeared in the east, the jewel of the twice born Lord Gaurasundara awakened and taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside, towns and villages, and played the mandanga, and the cymbals chimed in time. Lord Gauranga's shimmering golden creatures danced, and his footbells jingled. All the devotees chanted the names Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, their mouths being filled with the vibrations. They would announce to the still sleeping people, you spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. You have achieved such a rare human body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Yashoda and slowly fall to your last moments to death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? This temporary life is full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your business, as your only business. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the holy name has risen like the shining sun. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the name to be had in the 14 worlds that has filled the soul of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki
jai.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
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 Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gauravata Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gauravata Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gauravata Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gauravata
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
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 Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gauravata Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gauravata Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gauravata Vrinda. Guru Nishabhata, Isha Nishpata, Isha Mishavatarakam, Tat Prakasham Chitat Chakti, Krishna Chaitanya Sangnakam. So this is a verse from the Adi Lila chapter 1, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vande Guru Nishabhata, Isha Mishavatarakam, Tat Prakasham Chitat Chakti, Krishna Chaitanya Samnakam. Vande. I offer my respectful obeisances. Guru. Unto the spiritual master.
Unto the spiritual master.
Isha Bhaktan.
Isha Bhaktan.
Unto the devotees of the Supreme Lord.
Unto the devotees of the Supreme Lord.
Isham.
Isham.
Unto the Supreme Lord.
Unto the Supreme Lord.
Isha Avatarakan.
Isha Avatarakan.
Unto the incarnations of the Supreme Lord.
Unto the incarnations of the Supreme Lord.
Tat?
Tat.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Prakashan?
Prakashan.
Unto the manifestations.
Unto the manifestations.
Tat?
Tat.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Shakti?
Shakti.
Unto the potencies.
Unto your potencies.
Krishna Chaitanya.
Krishna Chaitanya.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Samnakam.
Samnakam.
Name.
Name.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual master, unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, His planetary portions, His energies, and the primeval Lord Himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has composed the Sanskrit verse for the beginning of his book, and now he will explain in detail. He offers his respectful obeisances unto the six principles of the Absolute Truth. Guruun is plural in number because anyone who gives spiritual instructions based on the revealed scriptures is accepted as a spiritual master. Although others give help in showing the way to beginners, the guru who first initiates one with the Maha Mantra is to be known as the initiator. And the saints who give instructions for progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness are called instructing spiritual masters. The initiating and instructing spiritual masters are equal and identical manifestations of Krishna, although they have different dealings. Their function is to guide the conditioned souls back to home, back to God. Therefore, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami accepted Nityananda Prabhu and the six Goswamis in the category of Guru. Isha Bhaktan refers to the devotees of the Lord like Sri Srivas and all other such followers, who are the energy of the Lord and are qualitatively non-different from Him. Ishvatarakam refers to acharyas like Advaita Prabhu, who is the avatar of the Lord. Tat Prakashan indicates the direct manifestations of the Supreme Personality of God. Nityananda Prabhu and the initiating spiritual master. Tat Prakashan indicates the direct manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nityananda Prabhu, and the initiating spiritual master. Tat Chakti refers to the spiritual energies, Shaktis, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar, Damodar, and Jagananda belong to the category of internal energy. The six principles are differently manifested, but all equally worshipable. Krishna Das Kaviraj begins by offering his obeisances unto them to teach us the methods of worshipping Lord Chaitanya. The external potency of Godhead, called Maya, can never associate with the Lord, just as darkness cannot remain in the presence of light. Yet darkness, being but an illusory and temporary covering of light, has no existence independent of light. So, Oma Gyana Timurandasya, Dhyana Dhyana Salakaya,
Chakshur Mitam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahomistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Lupakadahayam Dadati Svapadantikam
Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Virada
Shri Vasari Gaurabhakta Vrindam
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, today what we'll do is we'll discuss the different, first of all, the reason for the Lord's descent, but also the different manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, in his five features, which here mentioned is six, Panchatattva, the extra one being the Guru. So, first of all, let us study the factor of the Lord's descent. As we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Saiva Tamsam Parodamo. Has anyone got Bhagavatam here? That first candle? Salai bam sampro damo yato bhakti and oxygen. Vaita ki apati yata deyatma supersedati. So the supreme occupational duty for all mankind is by that which one attains to transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord. Such devotional service must be uninterrupted and unmotivated in order to completely satisfy the self. So there are many diversifications of philosophy in various literatures in this world, and there are many reasons for Lord Chaitanya's descent, but one of the greater reasons is that in Kali Yuga there are what you would call millions of different speculations. This particular age, because it's called the age of quarrel, the reason it's called Kali Yuga is because that in this particular age discussion will provoke thousands of different arguments. The nature of this age is that you can almost be guaranteed that if you say something, there's 10 people who have something different to add. So people in this age are so argumentative that practically just by breathing you can get into an argument. You don't even have to look anywhere for arguments. Wonderful creation nowadays for arguing is the internet, what we call combat. Getting on com and battling away, combat. So, generally speaking, the nature of Kali Yuga is that it is very petty age. Very petty. Everything becomes reduced in this age. And particularly, as it describes in the Bhagavatam, that in this age people's qualities are reduced. Their intelligence, people are by nature lazy. They have a lazy intelligence. Of course, not lazy intelligence, just lazy, with no intelligence. But we can say it's an intelligence almost gone to sleep. So, whereas previously society was based on Vedic culture, because we see practically, not something simply predicted by the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's something very practical. We see that India has also lost her culture. And this culture has become degraded almost to the point now of Bollywood culture. India has become a big cinema house. So this is a very dangerous condition, because of course India, or previously Bharatvarsha, was the seat. India, Bharatvarsha, was the seat of Vedic culture. And now, that culture has become so much mixed up with all sorts of speculation and Hindu granny wisdom that it's become almost extinct. Now, generally speaking, people are not aware of the disastrous effect of this, because in this age, people are not very spiritually orientated. So therefore, they do not see the great calamity that is facing them. Because once culture is lost, then people become animals, polished animals. The only, if you like, difference between the human being, of course, and the animals is that we have philosophy. We have reasoning. We have higher intelligence. Higher levels of consciousness. So therefore, even the so-called religions of this age, they are full of kaitava, they are full of cheating. Generally speaking, in Kali Yuga, people are religious, but their religion is full of all sorts of motives. all sorts of desires. And on account of that, therefore, one cannot experience even a semblance of love of God. One cannot actually, this love of God has become completely hidden in this age. And that's why we see that when Lord Chaitanya came, of course there are many predictions also about his coming, just to show that it's not a sentimental sort of assumption by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Then there are many, many quotes. Of course we won't quote them all, but there are many quotes which are actually explaining in Vedic literatures, in the Garuda Purana, in the Mahabharata, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, to show actually the various reasons for the Lord's descent. So, I'll just give a few here. This is one, this is a quote from the, these are from the Chaitanya Upanishad. 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 The Supreme Personality of God is Govinda, the Supreme Enjoyer, whose form is transcendental, who is beyond the touch of the three modes of material nature, and who is the all-pervading Supersoul residing in the hearts of all living entities, will appear again in the Kali Age. Appearing as the greatest devotee, the Supreme Personality of God will assume a two-armed form of golden complexion in his abode of Goloka Vrindavan, manifested in the banks of the Ganges at Navadvip. He will disseminate pure devotional service in the world. This incarnation of the Lord is described in the following verses. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of all transcendental potencies, and who may be known only by devotional service, appears in innumerable transcendental forms. He has appeared with red, white, and black complexions, and he will also appear in the golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will assume the role of a perfect devotee, and he will teach the conditioned souls the path of pure devotional service. I offer my respectful obeisance unto Lord Sri Krishna, the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is understood by the study of Vedanta philosophy. He is the master of all transcendental potencies, and he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's the Atharva Veda, of course. In the Atharva Veda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself says, when between 4,000 to 5,000 years of the Kali Yuga have passed, I will descend to the earth in a place by the Ganges shore. I will be a tall, fair, and saintly Brahmana devotee of the Lord. I will have all the signs of exalted person. I will be renounced, free from all material desire. I will accept the order of renunciation, sannyas. I will be a devotee advanced in bhakti yoga. I will chant the holy names of the Lord. I will taste the sweet mellows of my own devotional service. Only the great devotees will understand me. In the Samaveda. In the Samaveda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself says, to deliver the people devoured by the sins of Kali Yuga, I will, accompanied by my associate, descend to the earth in a place by the Ganges shore. I will be a Brahmana Avadut Sannyasi. Again and again I will chant the holy names of the Lord. In the Krishna Upanishad it is said, in the Kali Yuga, Lord Krishna will appear in a Brahmana's family. He will teach the message of the Upanishads and the Dharma Shastras. He will defeat the atheists and offenders, and he will establish the truth of Vaishnava Dharma. So anyway, it goes on. There's a whole book of it, if anyone has any doubts about the authenticity of Lord Chaitanya. Now, the very important to understand, of course, from this particular quote also, is that to deliver the people devoured by the sins of Kali Yuga. So in other words, many people think that the personality of God, or at least they think that God is cruel to create such a horrible place as this material world. And that God must be even crueler to create such an age as Kali Yuga. It's bad enough having created the material world, but now to be even crueler and to create this age of Kali. Because actually this age of Kali, we haven't seen anything yet. We are only seeing, just like in the morning, you see the rising of the, what do you call, the sun. You only see a little bit of light. Wait until the sun comes. So similarly, wait until Kali Yuga really comes. Prabhupada says that, one time we were talking with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was talking about Kali Yuga. And he was saying that in the Kali Yuga, he said, people will be so degraded, he said, they will have children to eat them. In other words, there will be such a shortage of food. There will be such a shortage, there will be restriction of grain, there will be restriction of vegetables. We take it for granted now that we are enjoying all these lovely curd sabjis and cauliflower pakoras. But as Kali Yuga progresses, food will become more and more shortage. And people will have children, they'll have children, especially for having Sunday feasts. So that's the... And this has already become, what do you call it, simmering, if you like. It's become starting because the introduction of abortion is completely acceptable all over the world. So the next stage is when you've got millions and millions of little pieces of food, then what to do with them? So naturally you want to put them into the food chain. That would be the most practical usage of such waste of energy. So therefore we can see that this age is very, very degraded age. We cannot even comprehend it. And therefore, actually, one may accuse that how God has left us in this horrible age and we are suffering so much. So, therefore, we can understand that the Lord, in order to show compassion on these falling wretches who are lost in the Kali Yuga, therefore He appears. Not only does He come Himself, but He comes in all of His diverse manifestations. These manifestations of Lord Chaitanya are further proof that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, there are many other ways of knowing that Lord Chaitanya is the Personality of Godhead, but different manifestations of the Lord, and also the philosophical truth which was propounded by Lord Chaitanya. So if we understand that the religion has become more and more degraded, then into so-called religion has become many adharmic principles. One of those is kaitava, cheating. Cheating. What is the meaning of cheating religion? There are many religions which we think are very, very good. But what do we mean by cheating? So what is this cheating? Just like yesterday I said that there's some trickery involved in various religions. So let us try and study that. Let's study. If we can make a chart here, who's going to do the chart, man? Who's going to do it? Chart man, here he is. Okay, if you can do the chart. Okay, let's all, first of all, define. Who can give a definition of what is religion? Normally, what is religion? Now, I'm not talking about the esoteric Vedic explanation. What is a common denominator of religion? What would you call social religion in terms of religion before you met the Hare Krishnas or something? Let's put you back. Before you come in touch with the Hare Krishnas. What is religion?
Worshiping God.
Huh? To worship God. A belief in God. A kind of faith. Okay, so we have, let's say, a belief in God. A belief in God. A type of faith. That can be added. That can be one. You say a belief in... Now, any other thing? What else is religion? A kind of what?
Code of rules.
Oh, code of rules. Okay, so we could say at least there would be what? Moral rules? Moral rules. So moral rules. What else?
Communication to God.
Communication to God. Like phoning God up on your mobile phone. What else? Sacrifice? The desire to sacrifice. Okay. Anyone got any other idea?
Blind faith.
Well, that would be a type of faith. We can say blind or not blind. Any other? Manoj? You got another one?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay. So no one can come up with anything else why they would be religious.
As a way of avoiding hell or suffering.
Right, the fear of God. Fear of God would be quite a big one, I think. Especially if you're a naughty boy. So the fear of God.
Fashion.
Huh?
Fashion.
A fashion. Okay, a fashion. It's fashionable to be wearing what? Six outfit. Is it? Pious and good. So it'd be piety.
It'd also be like just part of one's born into certain cultures, as part of a social group.
Right, born into, well, that would come under a little bit of fashionable, wouldn't it? It'd be culturally. You could put fashion and culture. Culturally acceptable.
Security.
Security.
That's under fear.
Okay, any others? Quick. A search for truth. A search for truth. Have we got that? A search for truth?
Kindness.
You would say religion is to give you kindness? Oh, okay. So that would come under, I think it would come under a kind of piety, wouldn't it? Piety. You can write as kindness. Now what's wrong with all of these?
Self-centered.
They're all based on gain. You see? Basically the principle of everything in this world is we want to gain something. We're ignorant, so we want to get a belief in God. We're devoid of any faith, so we want some faith. We are in need of morality because we're so licentious. Our nature is we are attracted towards licentiousness. So we don't want to end up like animals. We don't want to end up degraded. So we want moral rules. We are, of course, communication with God and belief in God. They're more pure because one who wants to communicate with God, the question would be there, why do you want to communicate with God? Many times, as one bishop put it, that we want the kingdom of God without God. I mean, practically speaking, for most people to go to the kingdom of God, whether God's there or not, doesn't make much difference, does it? As long as his kingdom's there. A lot of people would be pretty disappointed if they got to the kingdom of God and there was God but no kingdom. And they sort of said, hey, well, where's the kingdom? So, sacrifice. Generally, okay, sacrifice, usually, unless one is extremely pure, that sacrifice is motivated by some result. Fear of God. Fear of God, again, is a negative kind of approach to God, the idea of fearing God. Fashion and culture, they're pretty shallow kind of reasons. Piety and kindness. These are, piety, kindness, and morality are probably the most predominant principles within religious pursuit. Generally speaking, people know that if you want to bring up a nice family, nowadays not so much, but in the past, it was always bred into you that the only way that your children would grow up pious and religious and good behavior was to be brought into some sort of religious doctrine and educated within a certain philosophy. Security, that's just another kind of projection from the material world. and the search for truth is one of the higher ones. So, generally speaking, when you start to analyze deeply why people turn towards religion, you find that they are motivated by many, many needs. Of course, Krishna gives this in the Bhagavad Gita. He explains that there are four kinds of pious people who turn to God. Now, that's God speaking himself, so he should know, because everyone is turning to him. And Krishna says that people who are suffering, generally, those who are in misery, those who are in search of money, those who are in, what is it called, what's it called, inquisitive? Those who are inquisitive, and those who are in search of knowledge. Right? So, out of those two, if you break them into half, you have two which are negative experiences, in the meaning that suffering and wanting money. And the other two are also negative experience, but a bit higher, inquisitive and search of truth. So basically, in many ways, that because of being deprived of various things in the material world, as Prabhupada explains, we try to get them out of the material world. All of these things that people turn to God for, they've already tried to get them in the material world. And that's why Krishna says, Bahunam Jamanam Mante Jnanavamam Pupadyante Vasudeva Sanam. After many, many births of experiencing, of course Krishna says in search of knowledge, but basically after many, many births of experiencing various, if you like, various types of knowledge, various types of experience, one finally comes to understand Vasudeva Sanamiti, that Krishna is everywhere. So, generally when religions are established, you'll find that in each religion there are many kaitava, many cheating principles. Most religions talk about the kingdom of God. They talk about the kingdom of God in the context of a place where there's tremendous enjoyment. So you'll find that the general perception of reaching heaven is that you're going to have a great time, isn't it? You're going to be, and in a positive way, heaven should be free from the certain inadequacies of this world. For instance, there should be lots of sunlight, there should be lots of light, there should be lots of good food, some nice girls should be there, there should be nice boys and nice girls all flying around with little wings and having parties together. And if you actually study what sort of heaven people are talking about, it's really just an extension of their sense gratification. Really, that's all it is. I mean, here we like sex, so there we'll have better sex. Here we like food, so there we'll have better food. Here we like music, there we'll have better music. Here we like garden and we like scenery, we like variety. There there'll be amazing variety. You see? So, in reality, it's not really religion. It's just higher sense gratification. Higher sense gratification. And really, these so-called religions of today, if you look at it, most people who follow them are extremely materialistic. You know, I mean, when I'm down in Africa and people who come there, they, the Christians, the evangelists, they all have 400-pound suits and big cars, and they all have extremely wealthy followers who come with them, sometimes 300 of them at a time. And the general projection given in the media is that by becoming a Christian, you'll become very nicely materially situated. You'll become pious, wealthy, famous, and you'll be, of course, the privileged few who got the blood of Lord Jesus all over them. Everyone else didn't quite get dripped in the blood. because they wasn't so lucky to come in touch with our church. We are drowning them in blood. So you'll find that in being a little bit cynical, but in the sense that the general tendency is that people equate religion with material progress. Religion is very much culturally and socially interwoven into society to represent material advancement, moral living. The general tendency of religion actually is to, it's like the oil in the machine. It makes the whole thing work, because the animalistic nature of society, of the individual, of people in general, does not allow people to get off. Because everyone who comes into this material world is basically an animal. We are animals. We all have the same animal propensity. The animal propensity is might is right. We are the residents of the jungle. And therefore, we have to climb on top of each other and beat each other down in order to gain progress. Everyone's progress in the material world is at the expense of someone else's misery. When you gain loads of money, that means loads of people have lost money. When you gain lots of materials, it means someone else has lost those materials. When you gain anything. So this is discussed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that he mentions previous acharyas that mentioned that Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, Lord Chaitanya's teachings are the only teachings which do not produce any evil. You see? Generally speaking, when we talk about evil, every act within the material world creates another type of evil. Now, you may be very strong word to use the word evil. Just like even so-called releasing the third world from food shortage or everything else. All of those things are full of various types of evil. Because every time when you try to make some adjustment in this material world, it creates another type of inauspiciousness. That is the unique characteristic of the material energy, that every time you try to adjust it, it creates another complexity, another problem comes in. So we see that generally, even though these religions have so many good principles about them, actually they are creating various evil situations. Evil situations in the sense that they're not actually, they're more and more going away from the original idea of religion. Of course, most people's idea of religion is different. But when we look at it from the Vedic point of view, that the essence of religion is what? Ahoitiki apratiyata. Now, this ahoitiki apratiyata means that the service, of course, service is the principle of all religion. Without service to God in some capacity, shape or form, you cannot really call it religion. So this word, of course, in Sanskrit is called dharma. So dharma is the function, the natural characteristic function of the living force. That is the dharma. Just like when you talk about the dharma of sugar, you talk about its sweetness. When you talk about the dharma of chilies, you talk about their pungency or their hotness. So when we analyze the characteristic of the living force, this is the most scientific way of studying the real dharma of the soul. Because the problem with most philosophies is that they are studying the actual, they're studying the manifestation of the living force through matter. In other words, when we talk about analyzing things in the material world, because we can only observe matter in all of its various manifestations, therefore generally it is said that matter is the parent of consciousness. You see, try and study this, that our consciousness is the matter, the material energy itself, is the parent of consciousness. So therefore, when you try to understand things, then the danger is it produces another material observation in different forms and shapes. So we find that the study of Dharma is actually very much misunderstood by the general population. People think Dharma or religion to be a type of faith, to be a type of morality, to be a type of goodness, that you should become good, you should do good to others, don't steal, don't cheat, don't covet thy neighbor's wife, etc. All of these moral codes are there. So what is the problem with all of these? Although they may be very nicely materialistic, they may be very beneficial. You become pious, you become educated, you marry one woman, you stay with her the rest of your life, you have children, you're very good to your neighbors, you wave to them in the morning, when you come back at home at night, you look after the neighbor's cat when they go away on holiday. You do all these wonderful things. And you're a very nice person. Many times when you preach to people, they say, I don't need religion. I've never done anything wrong in my life. You see? I don't think I've ever done anything really wrong. I've lived a good life, a truthful life, a pious life. So that is the general feeling, that religion should embody all of these kind of principles, morality, goodness, gentleness, kindness, good to your neighbor, da 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 da. Now, as we were saying about this craftiness, that if you relate all of these things back, all of these various things, you will find that all of them are in either a subtle or gross way related to the body, isn't it? They're related to the body. They're related to the fact that I need to enjoy the material world, and in order to enjoy, I have found the best way of enjoying is by being highly principled, moral, to be a good person, to be friendly, so many things. The point is that none of those can actually give us the thing which is the real Dharma of the soul. The real Dharma of the soul is by which one obtains to transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord. So that is why one of the wonderful aspects of Lord Chaitanya's appearance is that Lord Chaitanya, so as not to in any way leave anyone confused about this issue, he appears as a devotee himself. You see? So in other words, Krishna gives the principle in the Bhagavad Gita that give up everything, surrender unto me. This surrender unto Krishna is the highest principle of all religion. It is the highest principle of Dharma. So Krishna says, yada yada dham, that I come to establish Dharma. So when Krishna comes into the material world, he establishes Dharma. But at the same time, the highest principle of Dharma is to surrender to him. Now, to surrender to God can actually only be shown by God. It can only be shown by God. Why do you think that? Why is it that that God himself has to come to show us how to surrender to him?
It's way too materialistic.
Huh?
It's way too materialistic.
Because it is only God who can understand God. You see? Now, this is very, very important, because the living entity, of course, we can understand God within our capacity, but we are very tiny. We are only an atom of God's energy. 1/10,000 particles of energy. So God is unlimited. So therefore, in order to reveal the unlimited has to come himself. And this is the one of the esoteric or one of the reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Because the ocean of love of God is so vast And so inconceivable that Lord Chaitanya comes to show Krishna in his full manifestation. In other words, Krishna came 5,000 years ago as himself, but now the Lord comes as six different manifestations. And these six manifestations are extremely important to understand, because they are, if you like, the absolute truth in his full glory, which was not revealed by any other sampradaya. There is no other sampradaya in the world that carries this depth of confidentiality of understanding Krishna's pastimes. So in other words, in most religions, there's this principle of gain. This principle of gain is there. You gain this, you gain that, you get better, you go to heaven, you become pious, you become rich, you get some benefit. But in Krishna consciousness, the actual beauty of Krishna consciousness is that the gain is Krishna. Love for Krishna. Actually, love for Krishna. Of course, you can't gain Krishna, but you can gain love for Krishna. Now, that love for Krishna doesn't need anything. It doesn't require anything. It is completely independent and it is complete, purna. So, therefore, the whole principle of Lord Chaitanya's life was simply based upon that love. You don't find anything that Lord Chaitanya did which was not directly connected. Of course, in the beginning when Lord Chaitanya came, he came as a great scholar to show that the devotee is also a powerful philosopher, a powerful scholar. But then later on, at the age of about 25, then Lord Chaitanya displayed this highest platform of bhakti, prema bhakti. So these principles of the absolute truth are given here, that when the Supreme Lord comes, he comes to establish these principles, to show that first of all, he comes as the manifestation of the spiritual master, that the Lord is appearing in order to show us the importance of having spiritual master. And then it says here, the initiating and instructing spiritual masters. Their function is to guide the conditioned souls back to home, back to Godhead. Therefore, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami accepted Nityananda Prabhu and the six Goswamis in the category of Guru. So, Lord Chaitanya came, Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, of course, is Balaram. Balaram is the manifestation of the spiritual master, in the sense that Lord Balaram is situated in everyone's heart. Lord Balaram is in everyone's heart as the Chaita Guru. This principle of Chaita Guru is extremely important, because if you want to understand Krishna, you must take shelter of Krishna within your heart. Taking shelter of Krishna within the heart, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that I am situated in everyone's heart and I am giving the direction. I am giving the direction. I am directing the wanderings of all living beings. So, therefore, the Supreme Lord came as a manifestation of Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda is the spiritual master of the whole creation. So therefore, this is the powerful brother of Lord Chaitanya. So the manifestation of Lord Nityananda, then there's the manifestation of Advaita Acharya. So Acharya, Advaita Acharya is the manifestation of sometimes mentioned Mahavishnu and mentioned as Lord Shiva, the manifestation of Lord Shankarshan. So Dvaitacharya comes as the Acharya to show the example to all how to engage in devotional service. So, and then as the energies of the Lord comes as Gadadhar, as it says, Chakti refers to the spiritual energies, Shaktis of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar, Damodar and Jagadananda belong to the category of the internal energy. So all of these different manifestations are there, and of course Shivasadeva is Narada Muni, the incarnation of Narada Muni, to show the devotee. So this Panchatapa, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadeva, Gaura Bhaktavinda, they are the complete energy of the Absolute Truth, and they have come to deliver all of the fallen conditioned souls in the Kali Yuga. So therefore, there is no more powerful representation of God possible within the material creation, in the sense that Krishna has come with all of his energies. So just like sometimes when a king goes to battle, if there's a big battle, he takes all of his armies, all of his generals, all of his commanders, all of his weapons, all of his might, in order to defeat the enemy. So Krishna has come to defeat the enemy of Kali Yuga, to have mercy, just so much mercy on the fallen conditioned souls. So therefore, we as devotees have to take up this task at Lord Chaitanya, because we are inseparable from Krishna. So therefore, if Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can come to deliver the conditioned souls, how can we not? You understand what I'm saying? How can we not? In other words, it's as someone used to say, it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. So if the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to deliver the fallen conditioned souls, then how can we avoid such a desire? So therefore, that is why in the Kali Yuga, the means of advancing in spiritual life is to take part in Harinama, 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 Eva Kevala, Aloha, Nasti, 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 Nasti. So Lord Chaitanya is quoting, of course, the Vyadnaradiya Purana, that in this age, if one tries to take shelter of Gyan, or as soon as you see practically when people take shelter of Gyan, most become puffed up. They become puffed up. There are many Gyanis in India, but they're not devotees. And it's not that Gyan is not required for understanding Krishna. Yes, Gyan is definitely required, but that Gyan is the servant of bhakti. So this in the Kali Yuga, actually, Gyan has to be very carefully dealt with, because it's one of the offerings of God. Just like God has all beauty, all knowledge. So knowledge becomes very arrogantly manifested in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, this sense of false prestige is very prominent. Therefore, when anyone has any knowledge, they become very proud, very quickly. It's a disease. So, generally speaking, you see Gyanis, they're not able to accept Krishna consciousness. There are so many Gyanis in India who are not devotees and who would not be able to accept Lord Chaitanya or even Lord Krishna. Then by Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, of course, by any type of activity, we see that if we study activity, we find that it is all contaminated by motivation, desire. It is at least polluted by various influences. So therefore in the Kali Yuga, this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
And the preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are the most powerful methods for achieving the transcendental realm of going back to home, back to Godhead. So therefore, that is why Lord Chaitanya has inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, and this Sankirtan movement has been passed down in the disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He introduced this Gaudiya Vaishnava movement, and Srila Prabhupada has further expanded this transcendental movement on behalf of his Guru Maharaj. Therefore, it is our duty to also give our life and soul for expanding this mercy of Lord Chaitanya in the chanting of the holy names. So therefore, that process is very powerful, and it is a direct method of entering into the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. So, I think that what we'll kind of discuss very quickly or briefly is that, having maybe come to the conclusion that devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is the highest, then within that, the what is the highest application of this process? What would open it up? That what would one conclude would be the highest application, or the most potent application of an activity to bring about this platform of Krishna consciousness?
To be preaching. That sounds like it.
To be preaching. Now, why would preaching, as in, why would you think like that?
Because Krishna's very concerned that everyone knows comes back to himself by compassion. One would want to share Krishna consciousness with other people, and that's most pleasing to Krishna. But I think he says in Bhagavad Gita, those who preach his words most it.
Anyone else have anything? Chanting? Now, chanting as in, there's different ways of chanting, of course. Individual chanting or... So, Nam Sankirtan. Congregational hearing and chanting.
Devotional service.
Devotional service. So, devotional service as in an individual thing, or?
It can be.
It can be, or it should be, or would be, or could be, or?
It should be. Obedience to his representatives.
Obedience to his representatives, as in who? Because a lot of people claim to be representatives. Okay, obedience to the disciplic succession, the spiritual master. Any other points?
Service to Vaishnavas.
Service to Vaishnavas. So, if we look at, again, when we study Lord Chaitanya's Shishastikam, of course, the first principle is given, if you like, the essence, that is that glories to the this Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the ray of the benediction mood. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to taste that nectar for which we are always anxious. So the actual highest principle, the highest principle of all religion is love of God. And the most important principle for us is to develop that love of God. Now, love for Krishna is actually something which we have to develop individual. It is an internal affair. And as Prabhupada says, that Krishna is only interested in our feelings for Him. So it's very, very important that one should not, in the name of spreading the holy name, in the name of spreading Krishna consciousness, preaching to other people, become so much caught up in the institutional aspect of ISKCON. In other words, that there's an awful lot of institutionalization of Krishna consciousness, which actually tends towards the same principles as all religions, fulfilling certain material needs. This is why, in many ways, religion becomes, initially starts with very pure intentions, but gradually it starts to become institutionalized. It becomes more and more external, exterior, and the internal aspect becomes more and more lost. So, therefore, it is very much required, along with the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
There must be also the constant hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, because this Bhagavatam, as it says in the Bhagavatam, this Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna from his own abode. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is also extremely important. The person Bhagavat, the book Bhagavat, and of course the personality Bhagavat. These are extremely important. One is the person Bhagavat is the pure devotee, the Vaishnavas. The book Bhagavat, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, and ultimately the person Bhagavat, Lord Sri Krishna. So this development of love for Krishna has to become the priority in order that one can actually give that love to others. And many times this becomes neglected in an institution, and in the name of progress and material facilities, material needs, and making sure that we all have nice facilities and there's lots of nice this and nice that and everything else. Sometimes the actual aspiration for love of God becomes lost altogether. It becomes lost. So that's why we have to be very careful to always emphasize the essence of Lord Chaitanya's Buddha. Actually, the amazing thing is, when Lord Chaitanya came to this world, he didn't open any temple. Isn't that funny? He didn't open any temples, he didn't actually establish any different types of facilities. Basically, Lord Chaitanya simply, day and night, chanted and danced in ecstasy of love of God. So, we should understand from that is why it's so important that Krishna consciousness is not just a philosophy, it's a demonstration. It's what we call the preceptorial line of the cyclic successions as always predominant, preeminent in our philosophy. Because Krishna consciousness is never just a philosophy, but it's a practical demonstration of the application of that philosophy in personal life. So this is the greatest service that we can render to Krishna, not simply to simply speak on the philosophy of the Vedas, the philosophy of the Gita, the philosophy of this and the philosophy of that, but in our own practical way, we have to demonstrate the actual result of our Krishna consciousness, and that result of our Krishna consciousness is that we have to demonstrate this pure love for Krishna. And that demonstration of pure love for Krishna must be free from all motivation. So it's very important, motivation and interruption. It's very important that you study the life of Lord Chaitanya and all of his followers. You will see that they were all free from any material motivation and any kind of interruption. So that's why this Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, is full of the nectar of the Lord and his devotees in the pure ecstasy of love. Especially if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will see what Krishna consciousness is all about. You see very little emphasis on big buildings and big properties and big houses and mobile phones and faxes and comms and all these other. Of course, all of these things may be used in Krishna's service, but we should be very careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. In other words, we shouldn't, while we're trying to promote this institution of Krishna consciousness, also introduce all our sort of material contaminations. Anyway, I think we'll stop there. If does anyone have any questions at all?
What is the practical solution to avoid this institutionalization?
Well, the thing is that there is, of course, a necessary, there's always a necessity of having many things within an institution, buildings, properties, positions, and all the sort of administration that needs to go on. I think that the danger in an institution is when the actual purpose it was set up for becomes diminished or becomes lost. In other words, the purpose that Lord Chaitanya came into the material world was to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement and to spread love of God all over the world. So therefore, that principle itself is the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement. And when you see that the institution gets bigger but the congregational chanting gets less, or that the actual preaching in every town and village, as Lord Chaitanya said, my name will go to every town and village in the world. When things like that become less and less, then it means there's something seriously wrong with why you set up the institution. So if you look at it from purely one aspect, because there's many aspects to look at, but if you look at it from purely one aspect, is that the Krishna conscious movement is an extension of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, then if those particular things which Lord Chaitanya seemed to spend all his time doing are not getting done, then you have to seriously look at you have to look at the functioning of the institution. And I think that's where, of course, there are a number, we don't want to dwell too much on the problems that are already existing within the Krishna conscious movement, but the thing is that a lot of times in religion, the actual essence of purity of religion tends to get lost in a cloud of distractions. Same thing happened the same thing is going on in other religions. Jesus Christ said, thou shalt love thy God, thy Father, with thy whole heart, thy whole man, thy whole mind, thy whole strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you look at the actual amount of love in the religion, demonstrated love, then you have to question as to whether Jesus Christ, the followers of Jesus Christ, are able to properly uphold that principle. So similarly, our movement could be judged by how much love we have for Krishna. It has to be judged on that basis, because it's a movement for spreading love of God. Lord Chaitanya came to spread love for Krishna, and we, the followers of Lord Chaitanya, are there to spread love for Krishna. So if we're not in love with Krishna, or we're not trying to be in love with Krishna, then it would be very difficult to spread love for Krishna. You can't give out something that you haven't got. So we have to be very, one, very sincere in our attempt to become lovers of Krishna. And then we have to equally be very sincere in distributing this love to everyone else. I mean, that's the answer in a very simplified way. Of course, running an institution is an incredibly complex affair. And there are enormous problems associated with it. But I think the essence always has to be the actual reason for setting up. If you look at the eight reasons Prabhupada wrote down in 1950s, I think it was, the League of Devotees, they were all about spreading Krishna consciousness. All of them. They were the ones that Prabhupada wrote down. So naturally, this would be a very important factor in his organization to fulfill these eight principles. Any other questions, Lord?
Why did Krishna create Kali Yuga?
Why did Krishna create Kali Yuga? He didn't create it. We create Kali Yuga. The thing is that the living entities in the material world are going through different types of species and different cycles of ages. Just like in this... Well, basically, if you study the nature of the material world, there's always increasing and decreasing, increment and decrement. So, just like when you go through the different ages, not ages, when you go through the different seasons, you find that summer gradually becomes autumn, and gradually becomes winter, and again after a duration of winter, gradually turns again into spring and into summer. So similarly, that the cycles of the material world are different opportunities for us to benefit within this material world. In the Sati Yuga, we benefit from long duration of life and the predominance of the mode of goodness. So there's opportunity for many people to go back to home, back to Godhead. Those people who don't take that opportunity, they hang around a bit too long, they go into Dwapara Yuga, when the chances of, if you like, almost getting out of the material world are reduced by one quarter. If they wait around even more, then the chances again go by another quarter in Dwapara Yuga, Chaitanya Yuga. Then in the Dwapara Yuga, then three quarters of the pious credits of the material world, if you like, are gone. And then in the Kali Yuga, then the first beginning of Kali Yuga is probably the last chance to get out. Prabhupada said after that, no more preaching. There will simply be cutting off heads. One time Prabhupada was talking about the appearance of Kalki. And he said, yes. He said, when Kalki comes, then there's no more preaching. Simply cutting off heads. So if you're unfortunate enough to hang around, you may find you get your head nicely chopped off. So better to get out. Prabhupada said, this material world is like a toilet. You finish your business and get out. So these are all different wonderful arrangements of Krishna to get us out. If we don't get out in the Sati Yuga, which we didn't obviously. We didn't manage to get out in the Treta Yuga. We didn't manage to get out in the Dwapara Yuga. And here we are in Kali Yuga. So if we don't take this one, then it's curtains. Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
That's in the movie.
Yeah, it's coming upstairs actually. So even though externally we get guidance of Guru or Vaishnava or Shastra, but actually that knowledge which comes from without is actually revealed also from within. So that creates the transcendental system. Guru is instructing from without and Guru is confirming from within. Krishna is Chaitanya Guru, the Lord in the heart. So he says, I give that realization. What was the other question in the first book? Well, Prabhupada, I mean, one or two times used different examples, but obviously the most prime example is that how much one is feeling separation from Krishna. We generally, as Vaishnavas, we don't, you very seldom see any Vaishnav writing about how he saw Krishna in the morning and Krishna was running down Govardhan Hill and he went up to Krishna and did this and that. You generally find that the Vaishnavas are always talking in terms of separation. Now, separation from Krishna, of course, we all have that. So we were all separated from Krishna. But at the same time, love and separation is the ingredient. Love and separation. So that means that, just like Prabhupada gives example, if a child is separated from his mother, then the intensity of feeling, that intensity of feeling, the child cannot be consoled by, even by sweets or by other people, by anything. There's no consolation except the mother itself. So similarly, when one is actually developing real Krishna consciousness, then there's no consolation except Krishna. So Krishna is the constant hankering of a devotee. So when one is feeling hankering, now hankering in separation is particularly manifested by a desire to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. So basically, as eager as one is for chanting the holy name and for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then one can get some idea of the, like Prabhupada said, by looking at the thermometer of one's feelings as to one, how much one is attached to these things. And looking on the negative side as to how much we're attached to the other things. In other words, we're very much attached to things which have nothing to do with Krishna, nothing to do with chanting or hearing, nothing to do with Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Then one can see how weak one has become in the negative sense. Okay. Oh, you got a question? You got another question? Oh.
Today in the purple, he was reading from the works of power, Shikshakur and Dikshakur, equally respected. I was a bit confused on the audio of both. Do you say Dikshakur says one thing and Shikshakur says another? How would you go about it? Because both of them probably put it right in the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean it's a technical thing, isn't it? Because sometimes the guru may slightly differ. Father mentions that in the Nectar Devotion. And depending on the technicality, then you have to, obviously one should always follow the Siksha Guru. Diksha Guru is generally the Siksha Guru. The Siksha Guru normally becomes the Diksha Guru and he becomes the most prominent. So it's not etiquette to reject Diksha Guru and go for, say, instruction of Shiksha Guru as technical. Now, you'd have to look at each case by case study of what is the different instructions. But generally, the general principle is that one always follows the Shiksha Guru.
Do you know the Panchatattva?
Six personalities. Five personalities.
Six ones, Guru.
Well, mentioned in that verse.
All right.
Only that verse.
Is that both?
Guru as in the plural, yes. Plural sense. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, Lord Nityananda is Balaram. He was the Shankarshan, who is the who is Mahavishnu, who is Shiradaksha Vishnu, who is the Guru in the heart. Say that again. If someone
now comes to go into that, when a being from the spiritual world to the material world,
yeah,
would they have to change the drop down to the new right now? Or would they be put to a different dimension and come to the
new? Yeah, it's generally fall down begins from very high level of Lord Brahma. So you don't just sort of, in the sense of falling down to, you know, some sort of character in the Kali Yuga. It's a gradual, very progressive thing as you come down and down over billions of years. You had a question?
They have the books.
People are there, and some of them are like atheists, so you know, they're not really, like, really want to put the thing, but how can we reach them in a way that we don't offend them,
right,
and where we can make friends with them? What's the technique that we can get from community? I mean, that's how you
reach. If they're atheists.
Well, if they're atheists, or even if they're like a bit reluctant to get them, you know, get kind of people and everything, but how can we reach them in a way that, you know,
I don't know. You'd have to take it as it. I mean, preaching is an art which everyone has to apply according to their capacity. Some people are more powerful; they can take on atheists. Like Lord Chaitanya could take on Mayavadis and convert them. He could convert Buddhists. He could convert, you know. But we may not be so powerful. And we may have to be careful that we don't get converted. So one has to be careful. Association when preaching, one should try to preach to the innocent. People who are, when we talk about innocent, we mean those who are not antagonistic to the principle of Krishna consciousness. Of course, we can also preach to anyone and everyone, but generally speaking, if people are antagonistic, then they should be avoided in terms of giving them confidential knowledge, because sometimes they may become blasphemous. And that can work against the bhakti kripa of the devotee. You know, if you try and tell people about Krishna's lila and they become, blasphemous, then it's not very good. Then one is considered to be given like milk to a snake. It's not doing them any good, not doing us any good. So generally, one who's on the intermediate level, he avoids the atheists and demons and preaches to those who are innocent or those who are devotees. But if you have the power, preach to everyone. Oh, two institutes.
Yeah,
Oh, okay.